We are now live on the radio, I guess.
Yes, we are. We are live on VBS. And a special happy Thanksgiving to all the listeners who are out there. Thank you for coming and being with us this evening. Welcome, caller. Would you like to say your name and location?
Hi, everybody. Robert from Glendora, California.
All right. Well, welcome to the call and happy Thanksgiving. We have another caller come in. Would you like to say your name and location?
Hi, Star Mananda, Boulder Creek.
Ah, happy Thanksgiving to you.
You too. Much love to everyone.
You too, sweetie. Thanks for coming in this evening.
All right.
Thank you, Donna.
Oh, you're most welcome.
Hello, guys.
Hey, how are you doing?
Okay. How you doing?
All right. Hello, Terry.
Hi.
You sound a little bit in the background.
Oh, let me put my mic down.
All right. That's a lot better. How are you, Terry?
I'm good. Thank you.
All right. I think we're live on BBS, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Yes.
All right. Fantastic. I welcome all those people on BBS Radio. Thank you for being here. And here we have somebody else coming on the conference line. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
This is Steve down West Palm Beach.
Hello, Steve. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Hi, Terry.
Just for the record,
Hi.
Terry, you sound wonderful.
Thank you. Yes, I'm good too, Morgan.
Mm-hmm. Glad to be doing it.
Happy Thanksgiving, Terry.
How's what?
Happy Thanksgiving.
Oh,
yeah, happy
you.
Thanksgiving to you, Terry.
I welcome those who just came in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
So, Donna, Jim, happy Thanksgiving to everyone.
Hello,
Thank
Jim.
You.
Welcome to the call.
And this is Jane in Philadelphia.
Good evening to you, Jane. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right.
Cecil C. Serpent.
Hello, Cecil. Welcome.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. I just got home from a funeral for my grandson.
Oh, right.
Oh, my
How
goodness.
Is your...
No.
Yeah, that was the one that died in China.
Yeah. How is your family doing?
Doing okay.
Yeah.
And how about you?
About the same.
Yeah,
my
tough family, Cecil.
It's a tough thing to be dealing with. We feel bad for you.
Oh, man, that must be so tough. Yeah, that must be very tough.
Well, it was hard thing because it was the youngest son of our oldest daughter that was killed 3 years ago. So that adds to the trauma.
Wow.
Oh, dear.
Wow.
My son died when he was 26, my youngest son.
Yeah, this boy was 29.
Yeah.
29 and had a 2-year-old daughter with him that he was the sole support for, that is, babysitter-wise. And his wife, or the girl's mother, was teaching school in China.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
I welcome the caller who just joined in. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Roger in Austin.
Roger, I welcome you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
All right.
Our prayers are with you and your family on this
Hello.
Funeral
Thank you,
stuff.
Hello, Wynn. We hear you.
Good.
Speak up, Wynn.
Barely.
You can hear me barely?
Barely.
I'm not even naked.
Oh, you got me. I should have seen that one coming. I have three brothers.
Did
you want to see that one coming?
Is Terry Brown on the line?
Yes, and she sounds wonderful.
Terry? Oh, I see her. There you are, Terry. Terry, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey.
Right here.
Wait a second. Hey, why don't we just get into this? I'll start the recording.
If you can improve your mic a little bit, Wynn, that would be great.
Improve my mic.
You sound a little bit away.
Hello, testing 1, 2, 1, 2. I didn't improve my mic. I'm just talking louder.
Okay.
Not as good as it usually is, but...
That didn't help any.
I can hear you.
I'll tell you
exactly.
What.
Hi.
Hello?
Yes.
I'll call in on Skype. Okay.
All right. I'm going to mute the things. All right. And when We'll be right back. Hold on. All right. So I welcome those who just came in. If you want to, feel free to say your name and location.
Hi, Wayne. It's Marshall from Lake Villa, Illinois.
Hello, Marshall. Welcome to the call. This is not Wynn. Wynn is dialing in on Skype as we speak. He will be right here. Thank you for being here, Marshall.
Hey, no problem. I love the show.
All right, great. Somebody else joined in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. Go ahead.
This is Steve from West Palm Beach. I lost you. Had to call back.
Welcome back, Steve.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, do I sound better now?
Yes.
And we already did the round on Happy Thanksgiving, but we want to include you.
Okay.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Well, I got a big secret to tell you all. Okay.
Do tell.
Okay, let's start the recording, Vince.
No, don't start the. Before we start the recording, I just wanted to say, do I see Mike Cushing on the line? I think I do. Mike, are you there?
Marshall is here. Mike.
I'm here. Who's Marshall.
Marshall.
Oh, hi, Marshall. Hey, how you doing, man?
Hey, Wynn, I'm on the line, Mike.
Okay, this is Marshall, the really far-off guy who had crazy experiences, right?
That's me.
But they're not really crazy. You're going to get
very
a chance. You're going to get a chance to talk about your experiences one day, okay?
That'd be fine.
And also, Marshall, we just got married, right?
I just got married. September 20th. Great day so far.
Everything is still working. Yeah. Marshall may be one of Marshall may be one of those people that's actually talking to the Elohim and had experiences with him.
Right.
So we're getting into it. And he's been paying attention to us for a while. And he's kind of a closet Elohim talker, right?
I would say I've been turned on you guys by the thing inside me saying, go, here's the next set of people that are going to lead you on the next part of my journey. And it's been really kicked into high gear since I met you. Well, I haven't met you yet, but since I started listening to you.
Well, you know what? We actually meet people on this line. It's kind of an interesting phenomenon that people kind of, at least the way that I take it, people are meeting each other in their higher bodies, and they start to feel like their family. They know each other. And so sometimes that's better than meeting somebody in person. Sometimes it screws it all up when you meet them in person. But but I'm really glad you're on, and I'm really glad I saw Mike Cushing. I heard him come out in the background. Mike, you're there? Hello, Mike.
Yes. Lynn, can you hear me? This is Mike.
And, you know, for those of you who haven't been tracking stuff, Mike is a guy that I knew. When was the last time we made connection? 30 years ago?
Yeah, probably.
It was 30 years ago or somewhere around there. And he was doing festivals and selling chamois and mops. And what are all some of the things you used to sell, Mike?
Oh, yeah, all of that. The salsa maker, the knife, all the demo kitchen products.
You know, if you ever went to a home show or a county fair and you saw a guy standing there with a microphone coming, saying, Gary, come on, Seth, right up. We got dives, and look at how well it cuts things, and we got chamois, and look at how well it cleans your windows. And that was Mike. He would always draw crowds.
It wasn't that bad, though. Wasn't that bad, though, Wynn?
What's that?
It was a little more sophisticated, but you've got the right idea.
Very sophisticated, all right. So, Mike, you know, we hadn't talked to each other for years, and somehow or another, he was on the internet and was looking, trying to figure out what's going on the world. He discovered David Wilcock, and then he discovered me, and he said, could that be the same Winfrey that I used to know? And here he is. We're having a great time. It's like usually people that know you in another role or another hat that you wore, and they hear about what I'm doing now, they run the other direction. And so it's really great to have Mike on the call, and I'm going to mute him.
All callers are muted.
And Terry, you're there, right? Hello, Terry.
Yep, I'm here.
It's the Terry.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I hear you loud and clear.
All right.
You're gonna start?
Terry, you sound fantastic.
That's great. I try to stay muted unless I'm talking so that I don't make noise.
Well, you know, she has this propensity to eat popcorn while she's on the call.
No, it just sounds like it.
It just sounds like it, right? So,
this conference is being recorded.
All right. It is November 26, 2014. Wynn and Terry in Sedona. Highs in Magalia. And all of you, we have, who do we have on our call tonight? I won't embarrass you. Okay, we have Marilyn in Pittsburgh, and we have Marilyn in Flagstaff, and we have Vaughn in North Hollywood. Hi, Vaughn, but we can't hear you. You're muted. And we have Dave Fitzsimmons in Atlantic City, and let's keep sending Dave good energy because he's the guy that keeps going into slot machines and sending us money when he wins. And we have Cecil Sea Serpent, and we have Don Herman, and we have James in the room next door. And we have Nancy and Eric. Hi, Eric, in New Mexico. And Percy. I don't know where you are. I don't know where that area code is, but hi, Percy. And I know there's more of you, or there's a lot more. Oh, then we have Julia that just came in. Where is Julia Rael?
Diego.
San Diego?
San Diego, yes.
Hey, I'm going to open the mic. Julia, are you there?
Yes.
Tell me something. How did you get a last name like Rael? I mean,
Rael?
You know. That's your real last name, right?
That's my maiden name, yeah.
Rael. Now, you realize you have Ra and Elohim in your name, right?
I know that.
You know, that I don't know what that means. But
I don't either.
And the E-L is from the Elohim.
Right, Ra and Elohim. And, you know, at one point, one of the sources that was talking to us identified itself as Ra'el. You know, some people say, and I don't know if this is true, but I just quoted Israel. The name Israel is I-S-R-A-E-L. And the I-S, some people say, is Isis. So we have Isis, Ra, and Elohim in Israel. And I'm not going to put anything special on that, it's just except to mention it. But I just noticed I never asked you about your name. So I'm glad you didn't rename yourself because of us. Okay.
No, I didn't.
You didn't, right? And I am so glad you're so cheery, because you're cheering me up by those great giggles, okay? Well, your mic's open. Do you have anything you want to say to everybody?
Just I'm happy to be here and to be part of this, and I'm very grateful to find to stumbling upon the site. And you, actually, I heard you on George Norris last January. And ever since January, I mean, I had dabbled in this stuff before, but I actually was laid off from my job last December, so I had a lot of free time. And I got into this, and I haven't stopped. And it's been, actually, it's changed my life. It's been wonderful.
Tell us how it changed your life. I like, it's good for charity.
Well, for one thing, I woke up, you know, for one thing, which was wonderful because, you know, poor people, I feel so bad. They're so busy trying to survive just to pay the bills, just to, you know, deal with their issues or problems every day. And they don't have an opportunity to really look at what's important. And I think it's just from life in general. And once you have the opportunity out of, you know, it wasn't my choice because my company was closed, but I had the opportunity to sit down and get into things that I was interested in, and a whole new world just kind of unfolded to me. And it's stuff that I always knew in my gut that I mean, I had interest and I wanted to follow it because ever since I was little, I was interested in this stuff. But it seemed like now I had an opportunity, and I am a single mother. My son's grown now, but so I was always worried about just surviving, basically. And it's changed my life. It really has, because it's the reality of what we're in and what we're dealing with is nothing compared to what people think it is. And they're so consumed with things that really don't mean anything. I look at people every day and just think, you don't even know what's important, or you don't realize what's important. You know, many people, a lot of people do, but many people don't, because they're caught up in material things and the struggle for survival.
Well, thank you for sharing. And, you know, it's rough in this realm because it's hard to figure out what's really happening. So I'm glad I found me. I'm glad you found us. I'm glad we found you. Thanks for being
thank
here.
You.
Okay?
Thank you.
You're part of the energy that supports it all. And let me mute you again. Let's see. Thanks for letting me put you on the spot, too, okay? Let's see if there's... I'm not... You know what? It's like, whenever I do that, I take a chance. I say, hi, Julia, do you want to say something? Because some of you are really embarrassed about speaking publicly. And so... I don't want to put you on the spot. Who could I put on the spot? How about Eric? Eric likes to talk, and he's not shy. Eric, you're unmuted. You want to say anything?
Hey, Wynn. How are you?
Hey, I'm fine. You're in Santa Fe, right?
Santa Fe, and just enjoying it here, the beautiful area, and working in a dream hotel where I've always wanted to work, a very historical hotel. And I've always had great opportunities in that industry all my life, so very fortunate. But listening to you when I can, when I'm not working, is always fortunate, too.
Mm-hmm.
Always enjoy listening to Carla.
Have you gotten anything out of our work?
Oh, much, yeah. I first met you when you spoke on George Norrie the first time. I think it was a year and a half ago, approximately. And I grew up next to Hugh Lynn Casey, who was Edgar Casey's son, in Virginia Beach. So I was exposed to the ARE and all of that as a child when I was 10, 11, 12 years old. And then when I heard about your work, it just reawakened all of that I learned as a youngster. And I feel so much at home. It's like coming home, listening to all of the knowledge that you share with the Raw and Elohim group, and Yeah, it's pretty powerful. Yeah, it's a great thing.
I think you're an Elohim soul in this realm. Did I ever tell you
that? Sorry?
I think you're an Elohim soul in this realm.
Yeah, I do too. You know, I never realized that at the time. There are things that parallel very closely what you talked to about your childhood and things that I had in the same, it resonates, the same type of experiences. But I can remember as a youngster freaking out once and saying that my grandparents, I thought they were going to kill me or something. It was odd, and I was having a really bizarre experience. And I was 5 or 6 years old. Well, the next week they sent me to a psychiatrist. And I think what I was doing was reliving the past experience of what happened. And I was killed by a parent or something. And I brought it into this life. And I didn't at the time, of course, know what was going on. But now, after just listening to the calls and everything, a lot of this has all come to the surface. And it's really powerful stuff. It's hard to figure out, but I try not to. I just sort of let it happen the way it's supposed to happen.
Yeah, I mean, my father killed me in another life. My father in this lifetime killed me in another life.
Yeah.
And it's hard when you get born into a family where I think when you're on the other side, you don't realize, you don't have a clue of how hard it's going to be, because you probably chose your parents, or, you know, I'm sure I chose my family. Mm-hmm. And I know why I chose them now in retrospect, but I had learned my father had killed me. And so when I was growing up, he was continuing to kill me psychically. It's like, you know, I imagine there was something really deep and dark in him, probably not only of me, but, you know, other people that he did things to, but I don't know that. But it's like he wasn't so happy to see me in his family. And I think it was my choice to be in the family, not his. And I chose that relationship. And I had to, you know, I felt so rejected when I was growing up. And I had to spend a long time clearing that rejection. And when I was younger, I didn't know why it was. It just felt like it was unfair. It was unfair. Why was he so unfair? And then I got to get it. And then I had to forgive him, you know, in order to move on. I couldn't keep holding it. But thank you for letting me put you on the spot, Eric. And we got questions tonight. Let's go do our questions. And Terry, you're still unmuted, right?
Yeah.
Good. And you're not ready, right?
No, I'm never ready. At the end of the day, I don't know what the questions are going to be in. I have to step out. I just have to step aside. So, I mean, they're ready. It takes a different part of my brain to connect with them. It's a whole different part of my brain.
Uh-huh.
Connected with a higher chakra. It's interesting. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I'm just putting another question in here from Dharmananda. And let me see if I got it. I'm only going to do one question here, Dharmananda. From you. Okay. Getting all my ducks in a row here. And we're going to do our invocation. Now remember, when we ask these questions and they give their answers, to always use your own discernment and never accept something that doesn't resonate. And understanding that in the process of channeling, it's possible, and I know this has happened, that, you know, sometimes Terry has strong connection with a certain question. And sometimes I think part of her bleeds through and the question comes from semi-part of her conscious mind. Although it's complicated because I think she's probably got part of the group energy with Elohim. So it's like sometimes it's indistinguishable from the Elohim and her. And oftentimes there's no chance it came from any part of her conscious mind. So always use your own discernment. A question for someone else, an answer, may not be the right answer for you because they're answering someone else's. And the bottom line is what can you apply to your life? What can you do to make something shift inside you? Because if you take something, some advice, some counsel, and something shifts, then you know it worked and it's yours. It doesn't have to do with giving up your power to some external source and just saying, I'm going to do what they want me to do. And the truth is, there is no way to please them by doing what they want you to do. The only way to please them is for them to feel you opening up and having an open heart and being a more functional, happy, better, joyous human being and getting out of all the things that are in your way from keeping you from doing that. And I've watched many people go through those kind of changes as a result of being on this call. And the calls are all different. There's all kinds of different kinds of information that come through. And you never know when it's going to hit right home and talk to you in a very personal way. You know, sometimes you think, this isn't about me, this isn't about me. And then, bingo, it's about you. And you say, that's me, I understand that. So that's one of the great advantages of coming to these calls, and it's certainly a lot better than watching television, where you're probably getting programmed into lower negative matrices, and then you have to untangle yourself out of them. All right. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this line. Any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy field of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And before we turn it over to our sources, let's take this moment of harmony, of connection, feel the energy, and surround our planet with the love light of the higher dimensions. All those people who are reaching might feel this connection. We put the Earth in the light. We put the sun in the light. We put Ukraine in the light. We put the Middle East in the light. And we put the positive flow of energy into this realm from the highest of high places. And right now, we're going to invite our sources to say hello and greet us through Terry.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. This is Ra On, part of the Ra group and part of the Elohim group, who have gotten together to assist where we can and to answer questions where we can. And we appreciate this opportunity to be in touch with each and every person that wishes to be in touch with us and to be touched by us and to feel our love or have our energy to be supported in a very high frequency range. We combined
with the raw aspect of the raw group to make a broader base of frequencies. We take a moment and we express our condolences to Cecil, and we see that your grandson is, as a result of the attention on him at the funeral, waking up some to his circumstance. And we send, in part, our love to him that he may be able to see his circumstances and to deal with the circumstances and then make his choices. Right now he is waking up and becoming more conscious. Talking to him, telling him you love him, but do not cling to him and allow him to be able to work through this, and he may choose another place, another time, to come back to the family, as he is very much part of the family. Do you have questions tonight, Wynn?
Yes, yes. This is from Michael Snyder in Camino, California. And he asks, for many years now, bright shiny dimes have just appeared out of thin air on a counter or table at my home. When this happened, my wife Jerry and I had come to believe that it was a sign from my deceased mother, Rosemary. It is a long story, but Jerry had the humorous nickname of Dimes from her uncanny luck at winning on the dime slot machines. My mother, Rosemary, had heard the story of this nickname before she passed on one summer when the family was visiting us years ago. My mother, Rosemary, and I'm not sure that makes sense here because he's talking about Rosemary. Oh, Jerry. Jerry is, I guess, his wife, who was winning the dime slot machines. And Michael, take some lessons from Dave Fitzgerald and go down, tell Jerry to give us part of the money and go try it again. But her mother, Rosemary, knew about Jerry's ability to win on the slots. We always thought that my deceased mother was trying to let us know she is still alive. That is, there is indeed life after death. And that life itself is way more mysterious than most think. We took it as a sign that we were going down the right path as we were reading books about spirituality and opening our minds to all the wondrous possibilities to not fear death. Often, a dime would materialize soon after one of us, usually Jerry, had done a kind act for a person in need. And after my wife Jerry passed from cancer, an occasional dime still materializes for me. Were we correct that these dimes are from my mother, Rosemary? How were she and Jerry doing, by the way? To manifest an object from the afterlife must be a difficult thing to perform. Can you speak to how and when it would be allowed for a deceased loved one to do so? Love and light and blessings, Michael.
Thank you. This is a funny question. It is. We take a look and we see that there are many manifestations that when you believe in their possibility, they can be brought about. If one does not believe in it, one can
not affect the observer's view that allows it to migrate, to move into one's consciousness. We see that Jerry and Rosemary are laughing and chuckling, and they are having fun. Yes, they are participants in this. Thank you.
So, you're not answering the question, right?
Would you repeat the question, please?
The question is, was Rosemary manifesting dimes, and how is it that somebody that is in the afterlife can do that if she is?
And if yes, she is in conjunction with Jerry, and they are chuckling because they are making a delightful gift, a delightful, uplifting gift. And they are manifesting that. And you are the lucky recipient of their joy and their connection to you. Through manifesting the dimes.
And if somebody's on the other side, and Michael asked this question, how is it? What are the parameters that allow somebody to do an amazing manifestation like that? Do they have to be fairly evolved to be able to do that on the other side?
It is a certain advanced ability that one has to manipulate mist and bring it from one dimension into another dimension. And it is a specific trait and talent, which does not mean that the person is advanced in all aspects of their character. And we are not saying that Rosemary is not advanced in certain characteristics. We are only saying in general, it does not mean, in answer to your question necessarily, that the person is advanced in all aspects of their life.
Mm-hmm. Now, are Jerry and Rosemary paying attention to us right now? It sounded like they were.
Yes, they were. They were chuckling over the success of the gift.
Okay, like you know, Rosemary and Jerry, if you want to manifest any dimes on our dining room table, it's okay with us. In fact, I'm sure we have a lot of people on the call that would say, we want some time. Okay. So
it takes the recipient, in this case, to complete the circuit.
Okay. Thank you. Next call is from Bonnie Penners in Corona, California. And Bonnie had asked a question a couple of weeks ago about a dream she had. Now, I don't completely remember it, but it had to do with
an invisible machine.
An invisible machine.
Yeah,
and it was a dream that seemed to be recurring. And you told her that it was a spaceship of sorts, an interdimensional spaceship that she was the operator of. And,
this was in the original incident where the spaceship got disabled, and she was trying to
started and it would not respond to thought processes the same as it normally did because its manifestations were damaged by a shock of sudden vibration within the spaceship, and the dreams are a takeoff on the original incident of trying to get the spaceship to work to get the crew back and the people on board back to their home planet.
Now, were they marooned? Did they end up dying, being marooned in that situation?
Yes, it was very frustrating in that they were unable to start their spaceship and were unable to leave and ended up trying to survive the best that they could and overcome by storms and difficult situations and inability to survive in their surroundings where the ship had landed.
And was that spaceship on Earth?
It was on Earth when it crashed. It malfunctioned and came to Earth, and they were unable to start it in spite of desperate attempts to get it working again.
And what planet was it from, or what star system was it from?
Andromeda.
And
that is a galaxy, and it was a specific planet on in that area. And we suggest asking in your further dreams for more information, in that it is when one is remembering the their pasts, plural pasts, it is wise to build your own strength of memory rather than to rely on other memories, to build your own connection with the Akashic record and your own strength in remembering, so that you are not reliant on another for information. You can do this by further asking when you go to sleep for more information on the incident, for more dreams to get the incident moving out of its original frustration and to see where it may have gone. The part about getting the spaceship working is more pleasant than what happened after it could not be gotten working. That is a very difficult part of the incident to face, confront.
Now, Bonnie's question brings up a question that I've had, which is, if somebody who is an interplanetary traveler ends up on a planet and they die on that planet, do they have to continue future lifetimes on that planet, or do they go back to the planet of they started from?
Thank you. That is a very good question, and it brings up the fact that the spaceship is a simulation of travel that the soul itself can do. It is a poor substitute for travel that the spirit can do itself. And one can think with instantaneousness of the planet. You might ask for this in a dream, to be shown visions of the planet where you came from. It is when a person becomes defocused into a new focus of life, desperate life on a planet
at the edge of a galaxy, and they become focused into the difficulties, then it's like the aperture of a camera shutting down and the possibilities shutting down to the point where one then focuses lifetime after lifetime on getting off the planet, getting in the machine, working through dreams, trying to resolve this problem. Opening up the aperture of their camera to the brilliant, beautiful planet where you came from, to energies, to that the soul can soar, can travel at the speed of thought, can be back at the home planet, and refocusing can bring them back home without their spaceship. It is a lesson where one does not need to rely on the manifest universe. One can move back into their own spiritual body and can travel instantaneously to their home planet. Thank you.
Thank you. Joshua in Austin, Texas, asked a question about the Japanese nuclear bombs that went off in 1945. There's ideas that are circulating that there are there's a moratorium from the other side that's keeping nuclear bombs from going off on our realm, and that there are space people that are doing that. And even at one point, we asked the question, could the Elohim disable a nuclear weapon? And the answer was that they could if enough people asked. And then in other answers, we've talked about when space people, ETs, are stopping nuclear things from going off, they have an agenda on that, because a nuclear explosion goes interdimensional and it can hurt them. And there's definitely been people reported that various times there were ETs flying over a nuclear missile sites, and that the missiles or the bombs were defused. And Joshua asks if that's, you can comment on any of that as being true or untrue. And also, why were the bombs allowed to go off in Hiroshima and Nagasaki in 1945?
Thank you. Well, that is sort of a catch-22. There are individual races, particularly one advanced race that is seeking to put a moratorium on the explosions of nuclear explosions and has gone to various sites and has run the activation codes and set the bombs ready to go off and then suddenly deactivated the whole thing, as if to say we are able to control this, and the message they are given is please do not continue with this foolishness, this destructive means of control that doesn't control, but everyone loses by the use of those weapons, and certain spirits lose big time by this, and it gives a terrible karma to the people who thoughtlessly and foolishly are developing and attempting to use these weapons for control. Why were the bombs allowed to go off?
and there were not just the bombs in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, there were the bombs that went off in the desert, which also shred the light bodies of spirits that are protecting the desert. On the knolls where they were, the bombs were set off in the Pacific, and all the fish and the life, the plant life, were disintegrated in the Pacific. And then later on, there was life attempts to restore itself, and so it came and it replenished with other life in the area, plant life and fish life. There were not only these instances, but there were instances back in India near Pakistan border of past nuclear explosions. The Sinai, there were past nuclear explosions that, oh, even before there were nuclear explosions. Once you make a pathway for destruction, the pathway tends to re-exist, to come back. And so it is better to not even make the pathway. There, at the first, they did not come in to stop these weapons. There were many weapons, nuclear weapons, that went off, and they did not stop the testing, which was also destructive. However, as the weapons became more and more prolific and became more and more prevalent and powerful, they could see the potential not for just wiping out one city, but for wiping out much more. And they then began to ask for a means of moratorium. However, they are not allowed to intervene to a full extent and enforce this. Therefore, they use reason to the extent possible, like showing that they have the power to turn off the weaponry, to turn on the weaponry, and that the weaponry itself is very crude and very barbaric. It is hard to get a lesson across when there is a free will zone, but it is also necessary to stop the encroachment into the other dimensions of the atomic weaponry. We hope that sheds some light on it.
One question is, does the Ra group participate in this at all? If you want to answer.
Give us a moment. There is a certain part of the Ra group that is very concerned about it, and is studying the problem and does participate.
Thank you. Last question. I got to go through this quick because we got 2 or 3 minutes. This is from Larry Lee in Berubo, Wisconsin. And Larry, if we don't get into this completely, ask it again next week. This is the second time she's asked it. When I was a child, I used to have dreams of visions in the sky of future events. I also used to sleepwalk, and my mother would find me outside in the middle of the night staring at the sky. I would like to know if I was contacted by ETs, negative aliens, or was this contact from positive ETs? Strange things that continued through my teen years through adulthood up to the present. Strange occurrences in the home I grew up in. After my father died, I learned he was obsessed with UFOs. Was he also a contactee? What of the rest of the family? They deny they had such experience, at least do not remember if they had. They may not be able to answer that, Laura Lee, because it would violate their free will, okay, to answer that without them asking. Do I have any residual effects of this experience? I affect the electronics and lights turning off as I pass by. I have strong intuitions. Is this related to some kind of ET experience, or is it just the awakening of my pineal gland? Could you please give me some closure on what has been happening? Thank you. Larry Lee, Baraboo, Wisconsin. And we officially should be stopping the call now.
There's no way.
There's no show after this?
Correct.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, okay, we'll take a moment and just give you time for a full answer before we say goodbye.
We see that there is much underneath that is held in the subconscious. And there is a full explanation of everything. And recommend that you ask for in your dream state to have it released little by little, as when you uncover a little bit, then a little bit more will end up to the surface, and then a little bit more. We see that there is a whole, we see it as an almost illusory dream-like state of you connecting with other beings, and that this is held in your subconscious, and that it needs to be uncovered just little by little, and don't worry about it. We suggest going really easy about it, as you do not want to reestablish that pattern. Thank you.
Don Fernando, ask your question about Annette next week. I think Terry knows Annette, and I think when she was in L.A., she was on some calls with Annette. And I'll bet you the answer to the question is yes, but we'll leave it stand for next week. And let me see if I missed any other. Rudio Cleo, did you listen to Monday's call? Not this week, but the week before. No, Sunday. Sunday's call, our topic was passion and detachment. If you haven't listened, go back in the archives, spiritchannel.net, and look it up. And you can ask your question again if you don't find an answer on the call. But we addressed that particular question. And Rudia will ask again, and I think otherwise we covered Brahmananda. We covered you, or we commented on it. We covered everybody that asked questions. And thank you all for listening, and all you people that are on the internet right now listening. We love you, and we wish you all a happy Thanksgiving. And Brahmananda sent me an email wishing everybody a happy Thanksgiving. And take moments, you know, when there's a holiday, like Thanksgiving or Christmas or Easter, particularly those three holidays, what happens is people become more spiritual. People's energy fields open up. The etheric energies on the planet become more transparent. And when you have requests or prayers, there's not so much static in the air. So take some time in the course of tomorrow and send good energy to the people you care about and to the planet, and take advantage of the easy stream of energy. And I'll bet you notice what I mean. And on that note, love you all. We'll see you next time. We'll see you Sunday. And thank you for being here and supporting this work. And we'll just open the mics here.
All callers are unmuted.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you, Heiss.
Thank you, Terry and Wynn. God bless you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Bless you all.
Love Happy to all.
Thank you all.
Be well.
Thanks, Terry.
Good job.
Love you all.
Bless you all.
Your conference recording has stopped.
Love you all. Good night.
Night, Heiss.
Good night, Heiss.
Good night.
Night.
Goodbye.